Hey fans, this is Chris Pyle, and I'm coming to you with the Hey 10 Minutes for the Week. Petey could not join me tonight. He's got some other things he's got to do, but I'm going to kind of get to the nitty gritty on the Tuesday and Wednesday games for this week.
Hey 10, Hey 10, Hey 10. GiantKiller.co and the By George Podcasting Network present an Atlantic 10 original, the Hey 10 Podcast.
Let's get to it. I'm going to talk also about the point totals and the spread. There's only two games that came out for right now, and that's Dayton St. Louis, Richmond St. Joe's. The rest of it, I'm just going based off of what KenPom has, but the spread and total should change as we get closer to those games. First up is Dayton at St. Louis. So St. Louis opens up as an 8.5-point favorite with the total being about 135.5. We're going to kind of take everything SLU does already with a grain of salt because they have been on a long COVID break and this is their first game back. Looking at this game, I would imagine coming off of a long COVID pause that they try to get easy buckets with their big guys down low, knowing that Dayton does not have the size or the defense down low to defend them. Dayton is actually number 128 in the country at defending twos. So I would look for that for SLU just to get their feet wet and get ease back into the basketball pace of play. I really think Dayton is going to try to get the three ball going like they did against VCU. SLU is number 148 in the country in defending the three. And looking at their loss to Minnesota, they gave up 40% from three. So if Dayton can kind of hit threes and kind of limit St. Louis in the paint, they might have a shot here. However, I really think St. Louis is just going to run them out of the building a little bit. If anything, St. Louis is going to look a little bit rusty coming out until they get their sea legs under them, but I think they're going to pull away in the second half. VCU kind of provided that blueprint about how to blow out Dayton. You just have to double team Crutcher, defend the three, and if they do that, Dayton kind of has no shot of winning. So look at St. Louis to kind of pull away easily and get a win over Dayton. Moving on to Richmond at St. Joe's. Richmond is a 10.5-point favorite with the total being 157.5. Should be a pretty fast-paced game with both teams are top three in the conference at tempo. Richmond will likely try to shoot threes because they are the number one team in conference play at three-point percentage, while Joe's is last in defending it. St. Joe's shoots a ton of threes, and that's kind of what LaSalle did to stay in the game and eventually win against Richmond. LaSalle shot 52.9% from three in that game. So Joe's to do more of the same here. I mean, Joe's points mostly come from shooting threes anyway, so they're essentially the epitome of live and die by the three. St. Joe's is kind of in a free fall right now, and Richmond just got off of a really bad loss to LaSalle, so look for Richmond to kind of get back on track and win this game pretty easily. Moving on to Rhode Island at LaSalle. The spread's going to be somewhere around Rhode Island -7, with the total being about 139. If you look at Sunday's game against Fordham, if Fats did not play in that game, and Rhode Island looked all out of sorts against Fordham, but luckily Rhodey was able to pull away from that with a pretty comfortable 10-point win over Fordham. However, LaSalle is a much better team than Fordham, and if Fats doesn't play, it could mean a lot of trouble for Rhodey and another awesome win for LaSalle. So LaSalle does rely on the three, and they shoot about 36% from three in the year, but Rhodey is a pretty good team at defending the three. They're number 96 in the country, but LaSalle will try to score from there because Rhodey is a much better team defensively defending the two. However, LaSalle is shooting better in conference play from two. They're number three in conference play out of all teams in the A-10 shooting from two, which could be a sign that they're turning a corner and becoming a more balanced offense. Rhode Island likes to get a lot of their points from inside, which is where LaSalle's weakness is. LaSalle is number 294 in the country defending the two. Explorers are a much better at defending the three than from two. If Fats plays, Rhode Island should win pretty easily on defense alone. Even though Fats has been bad this season, the team flows better when he plays. I could see a scenario where if LaSalle is able to hit threes, they can win because that's how they beat Richmond. But I think Rhodey should be able to pull this one out. Next up, we have Duquesne at Fordham. The spread's going to be somewhere around Duquesne minus 6, and the total's going to be somewhere around 116. So the last time these two played was in Pittsburgh. The Dukes won 48-45, so it was a very close game. Expect the same kind of game, but low scoring. It's also going to be really kind of slow. Duquesne plays slow and Fordham plays even slower. The magic number in this game is 60 for both teams because Fordham has not scored more than 58 in a game this season. Their only win was against Dayton and they scored 55 points in that game. Otherwise, they've lost every single game and all of those teams that most of those teams that have won have scored above 60. So Fordham just doesn't have the offense to keep up if you score over 60. So for Duquesne, if they can get to that magic number of 60, they should be good. Their offense has kind of turned it around in the past couple games. They scored 71 against Rhode Island, and they scored 61 against Bona, both with that are pretty formidable defenses. I really think Duquesne should win this one pretty comfortably. They look a lot better on offense, and their defense is actually pretty decent, and they're starting to look more like a complete team. So look for the Dukes to pull that one out. Finally, we have UMass at VCU. This is probably one of the better games on the Wednesday night slate. The spread's going to be somewhere around VCU minus 8, and the total's going to be somewhere around 148. The key to me in this game is rebounding. Both of these teams are fairly even in rebounding, so that might be a deciding factor if both offenses can't get it going, considering they're both pretty mediocre and both average in effective field goal percentage. They're both pretty much the same rate of rebounding, so I think second chance points could be a real key in this game if offenses are not getting it going. UMass is actually number 29 in the country on the defensive glass, so take that for what it's worth, but I really think second chance points will be a huge factor in this game. Obviously, Trade Mitchell is a big part of what UMass does. I really think VCU has the guys that can guard him, but Trey can also play on the outside too, so that could allow him to take more threes, and it could open up the paint for UMass to exploit, but VCU does have the best interior defense in the A-10 and one of the best in the country. Now, the turnover battle is going to be pretty key here. We know what kind of defense VCU plays, but UMass does a good job hanging on to the ball. UMass is number 29 in the country at turning the ball over, so they really don't do it a whole lot. VCU does turn the ball over quite a bit themselves and lost the turnover battle to Dayton, of all teams, on Saturday, even in that big blowout over the Flyers. The fouls are going to be pretty key, I think, because UMass is number 12 in the country and their points coming from free throws. And because VCU is such a defensive-minded team, if they get a lot of fouls called on them, UMass can keep it close from the stripe. They do shoot about 74% from the stripe, which is third in the conference and 58th in the country. Even though I think this game is fairly even, I have my doubts about UMass winning because of the teams they have beaten so far this year. They have beaten LaSalle twice, Fordham and URI, and they lost to Mason. URI is not bad, but they're not one of the top tier teams in the conference. And UMass just came off of a loss to Davidson, which is probably a top half of the conference team. So I would put my money on VCU. But UMass does have a decent shot to pull off an upset here after a disappointing loss to Davidson on Sunday. That's your Hey 10 Minutes for the week. I'm Chris Pyle. Follow me on Twitter at @not_privatepyle. And we will see you later on in this week for the weekend slate. See you later. I woke up to the morning sky first. Baby blue just like we rehearsed. When I get up off this ground, I shake leaves back down to the brown, 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 till I'm clean. Then walk where I'll be shaded by the trees, by a meadow of green, oh, by the mile. I'm headed to town, town, town. With all my favorite clothes.
black walls or blue sky, we gon' fly, feel alright. We gon'